Good morning and God bless you. It's Sunday morning and I thank God again for all of the things that he did to make this moment possible. This is the day that the Lord has made and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. To those that are here in person and to those that are joining us by way of streaming, we thank God for you on this last Sunday in the month of June. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord has brought us so graciously and so greatly. Amen. Through all things, he has brought us to this moment. Amen. And I bless God for it today. Well, we're going to seek the Lord on this Sunday. Amen. To see what he has to say to us, what he has to say about us, and actually, when it comes to the Word of God, what he's going to say for us, the things that we're going to need as we go forward. Amen. And I just want to get into a word of prayer, and then we're going to come back. I want this to just be kind of a relaxing, but yet really an exciting day. Amen. Just a fun day in the Spirit of Christ, and to enjoy every moment that God give us on this day of worship. Amen. I hope that all of you have plans for a great holiday coming forward, some downtime, some relaxing time, some time that you'll have to just reflect and to, I don't know, just relax, right? Just relax. Family and food and relaxation, that's wonderful. Last night I realized as I was sitting, eating with my family, that on Saturday a week ago, I was celebrating my oldest grandchild's wedding. Jasmine Janae Phillips was wed to Abraham Amos, and oh my God, on a level that I have not experienced, it was beautiful. It was a spectacular, beautiful wedding, and two happy people, amen, as they made their pledge to one another to share their lives with one another. I was so touched emotionally, and I guess every emotion that I had in some way was tapped into. Amen. And then a week later, on last night, I was with my youngest grand, Koa Dakari. Koa Dakari Hearth. So one Saturday, the oldest, the next Saturday, spending it with the youngest. And inside myself, I was just filled with the joy of testimony. Amen. That the Lord is just letting me enjoy. And of course, there's always the grandchildren that are always in between throughout the course of a week. But just marvelous. Thank you all for praying for us. My wife and I had a wonderful trip down. It was to be enjoyed. You know, I always said you'll know your soulmate if you can travel at least 6 hours in a car together. I remember me telling you that. And when you get to your destination, you're still together. That's a close space. You've got to create conversation and all of those things. And Cassie and I have been doing that for years. So that's the longest trip that we've taken in a vehicle for some time. But we still got it, right, Cassie? We still got it. So I'm still trying to talk her into that, the real trip. That's all the way to the West Coast. I'm working on it. She's almost there. Let's have a word of prayer, and then let's come back and see what God has to say to us. Eternal God, I thank you so much, and I thank you for so many things. Actually, I thank you for all things, good, bad, and indifferent. And I'm measuring that and metering that, God, by my expectations sometime for things that are going my way. But then I can rest so shortly and most assuredly in Jeremiah, where it says that your plans for us is nothing but just wonderful prosperity and all of the goodness of life. So, Lord, I rest in your plan, and I thank you because you have given me not just the good, but you have given me the best, more than I deserve, more than I could ever think of, dream for, or ask for. And, Lord, I thank you so much for that now. Now, God, we're here, and we're going to spend some moments together. Your Holy Spirit is certainly the one who is going to be the mediator. He, O Lord, is going to be the one who set the tone, the vibe and the flow and the way that this word goes. Touch the hearts of those that are ready to receive now in the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said amen. Amen and amen. I hope you have your handouts from last week, and that you are that you have had an opportunity to go over those. I don't know if there were any that were left from last week. If not, I did put some on the printer. And if you didn't get that handout from last week, it'll be good for you to take that. That's something good for you to have in your spare time. Everybody right now say, I got a seed in the ground. Come on, and it's working in my favor. Clap your hands right now. Come on, this is my season. Hallelujah. For greatness. This is my season for all of the wonderful things of the Lord. My season for grace. This is my season for favor, and it's going to work in my favor. Amen. I thank God for that. Handing out those sheets and getting ready for you to. And if you don't have them, that's all right. We're going to actually rest in the book of Revelations, and we're going to explore. We're going to seek the Lord's face. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to seek him today to just really help us as we go into the book of Revelations. Amen. Did you have a chance to take a look, and I hope that you did, in some way, at the handouts that we gave you? One of the key points is that we are seeing that God the Creator, from the very beginning, had a plan for you. And you didn't just morph or pop up out of nowhere and then moved into existence. But there was a precursor for your being here, a design. God has a plan, and he have worked you inside of that plan from Adam forward. You had your place. You have to, and you are required, in the grace that God gives you, to find your purpose when it's your assigned time. Adam to Seth, Enoch, I'm sorry, Methuselah to Enoch, to Abraham, we move forward, and each person is so significant to the completion of God's plan and purpose for all of our lives. Don't think that when we get to the last book in the Bible or the final script that it's over. Someone said it continues. Why and how do you know that it continues? Because now I am here. There is no record. There is no script. There is no book, chapter, or verse. But the story continues. And there is the book of Don. There is the book of Lois. There is the book of Janet. There is the book of Taffany and Derek. And inside those books, there are chapters and there are verses. It's a story of God's incorporation into our life. The story continues. you must obligate yourself to extract the most out of God, now placing you under an assignment to continue the story. It's all about his son, Jesus Christ. The final book and chapter that we get is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we should really dig in, because here God assigns John, who is known as the Revelator, to give explicitly the revelation of Jesus Christ. You've got to know the importance of that, because until you have the fulfillment of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will not adequately fulfill your purpose for being created. You've got to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelations in its totality is a blueprint that speaks to you in dimensions and levels. It is not linear in its presentation, but it is cylindrical, saying that it is the start and the finish, the start and the finish, the start and the finish. I draw your attention to Jesus' final words on the cross when he says, "It is finished." If it were finished as we understand being finished, then why was there the occasion where they laid him down, but 3 days later he got up? This is finished. The completion of my life in this body. No more to be done. Complete. Now I move to another dimension. I bring you to notice the disciples who stood staring into heaven as he ascended, and the angels came and said, "Why stand ye here, men of Galilee, gazing into the air in such marvel, as though it's over?" Somebody say finished, but not over. Oh God, that ought to be something for you for the rest of your life, and really turn it up for the rest of this week. It's finished, but it's not over. Will that work for somebody? Can y'all work that in your life? But I can see myself telling somebody that this week. It's going to be a circumstance that's going to pop up, and I'm going to say, yeah, it's finished, but it's not over. And the reason I declare it finished is because Jesus on Calvary said, "It is finished." But then 3 days later, he got up, which says, it ain't over. that's the Baptist preacher right there. We always looking for somewhere to tune, but you know what I'm saying. That we'll work that later. We'll work. Let's teach. Okay, let's stay on the grind right here. It's finished, but it's not over. So we see that it's not linear, because if it were linear, Mother Patterson, then that means that there would be some point where it actually stops, pulls into the station, and the journey is terminated. But it is cylindrical, which means that it continues infinitely. And it moves from one dimension to another. Now, are you two-dimensional? No. You would be a cartoon, which means we could peel you off the page. No, you are three-dimensional, meaning that you have There are perspectives to your existence. When it comes to your makeup with God, you are mind, you are body, and you are spirit. when I run out of patience with you in my body, I can extend my patience with you in my spirit. I'm done with you. It's finished with you in my body. Meaning we need to part our ways. I'm talking about some folk that you know right now. Some people that you don't like very much right now. You have put a distance between you and them. You have called out the Ecclesian preacher who says that there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I'm refraining right now. But in my spirit, I love you with a brotherly love. And just because I'm not in your face, on your phone, in your inbox, does not mean that I don't love you. Huh? You see? Somebody say dimensions. And some people just gotta have the flesh. That's all they know. You know, if they can't have you, then they can't have anything at all. Don't work like that. It's not in operation. If they can't have you their way, like you some whopper or something, then they don't want you at all. Then you go ahead and just X me out then. That's okay. That's all right. All right. All of that pertains to the quantitative parts of our dimensions. So I feel that greatly when I see Jesus at Calvary doing that and saying it's finished and then moving on forward. So now when we get here to Revelations, we're seeing a whole new dimension. Because John, the Revelator, does something that Moses did not do, that Abraham did not, and Enoch and others did not do. He goes now into the heavenly vault. And he goes, let me point this out. Y'all here, I told somebody that I was going to make this quick today, so I got to stay true to my word because I don't want to be a liar. And I shouldn't have never put my foot in my mouth. But Enoch says when he is walking with God, check this out. When Enoch walks with God, Eddie, God shows him the end. So he saw essentially what John saw in the book of Revelations, and he is only now 8 or 9 generations from Adam. But you go back and read it, he sees the end. Whew, that must be something. God got to thank a lot of you to know that you can handle that. I'm not ready. Because if he show me the end, I'm going to come back mad at some folks. Because I'm going to know what you're going to do. I'm going to know how you're going to turn out. And you're going to see it on my face. People say, we always know what you think because we see it on you. I'm going to show it on my face. Because now I see you a snake. I didn't know it. Now I know. And though right now you can't stand me very much, I know that you're going to be my beloved. You know what I mean? Okay. So, oh my God. This guy, this Holy Ghost is just, he is so perfect. So, John, his capacity to be put in a situation kind of like Jesus is in the wilderness. He is banished to this island where he is in his solitude. He's alone. He is imprisoned for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He brought it on himself. But his assignment is fulfilled now because the courses of action brings him to where he is now in solitary confinement. The things that he did resulted. What did he do wrong? That's not the question. This is where God have led him to. Because now he becomes responsible for reciting to us everything that's going to happen in us. Somebody say, from this day, from this forward. Enoch already saw it. And if you didn't hear him see it, go back and read it. I read that he saw it. Walking with God, God showed him a lot of stuff. He showed him a whole lot of things because he walked with God. And when two agree with each other, they can walk together. And if you can't be in agreement, you won't be able to walk together. So go ahead and stop wasting your time and stop wasting their time. John opens and he says, now, I'm in the book of Revelations, that he has come down through the channels, one after the other, and now he's front and center. He is being given this revelation by God of Jesus Christ. Don't take that lightly. Who is giving the dictation? Who's dictating? God. Who's the writer? John. Who's the recipient? Me. Who's doing the dictation? Who's the writer? Who's the recipient? Me. Us. To us. You see yourself, listen to me carefully, look at me, as being described as a lampstand. You see yourself being described as a church. You're going to hear in symbolic ways yourself being described. Now, why is God being so clandestine with this, so secretively with this? Why don't he just make it clear and just say to the people at Nations Harvest, and then we would have people looking for that way back then, and they wouldn't have found it because it wasn't even no Alabama. Why wouldn't he just make it clear, is my point? Why does it seem so symbolic and so mysterious and mystical to call me a lampstand and to call me a church? Is because this is the attribute of God. To always use, listen to me, parabletically, things that we use every day so that you can get outside of yourself and see God in the things that not only you see, but the things that you touch and become familiar with. Somebody say, I still don't understand. Just say it for the kicks. Arise now and go down to the potter's house. And see the work that I do with the potter and the potter's clay. So I arose and I went down to the potter's house. And I watched the potter as he worked marvelously with the clay on the potter's wheel. And I watched him and I watched him. And I noticed that as he molded the clay, that periodically one of the vessels would become marred and disfigured. But while it was soft, viable, and workable, he would put it back into the bond of clay, put it back on the wheel, and shape it all over again. Oh, my God. I don't have to end up like I started. Because God says to the prophet, I am the potter, and you are. So now I'm not only a lampstand, But the next time you see some clay, I am that too. I don't have to finish disfigured, dysfunctional, messed up, and otherwise toe up from the floor up. Because God puts me on a wheel called grace. See, you got to be patient with me. Why? He ain't through yet. There is some stuff that I used to have in my anatomical makeup that's not there no more. And I told you, and I'm going to warn you again, some stuff you ain't got to worry about quitting. Time going to pull it to a screeching halt. I didn't have but one person stand up, but I see everybody know what I'm talking about. Some things, God is going to let it stay right there, and in time, you're going to look back and discover, whoa, when was the last time? Look at all of those light bulbs over y'all head now. Remember how you wrestle with it, tuggle with it, prayed over it? And you say, God, you just ain't going to move. And then you just turn, you say, I guess I'm just bound to go to hell. Now look at your little gorgeous self right now. Look at your little saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost-filled self right now. Huh? He didn't toss you out. But because he symbolized you as what? Clay. He worked it out. Now some folk tried to work the kinks out of you. How did that work out for them? They got with you and somebody told them, said, man, you don't know what you're messing with. Oh, I'm going to fix them. Where are they? Yeah. Now let's bring it in your court. There are some folks that you thought you were going to fix. Boy, you been don't mess with them. I'm trying to tell you, they got a history. They ain't been with me yet. Now they've been with you. And they still what they were before you was going to fix them. Huh? If it was destined to be, both of you would have worked together. While God works it out in the both of you. Learning something about yourself? So now, destiny has to do with you being patient with one another. Through the process. Because you can't quit your family. I just went to a whole new dimension, didn't I? You can't divorce them. You can't quit them. You can't do anything. Your kids, you can put them up for adoption. Your wife, you can file for a divorce. What you going to do with your family? Is that in civil court? Is that in which court is that in? There is no court for it. You're stuck with them. Yes. So you've got to be. And y'all got some of them family members. I need to move on, don't I? Can I hang for a minute? Yeah. Y'all praying for them, ain't you? Somebody prayed for you once. I need y'all to feel this. I need to stay there because I see I'm working right now. I'm getting right there. I'm talking about that one. I'm talking about your mama's brother's sister's child. Your cousin. I'm talking about y'all cousin. Oh, well, I don't have to go that far. I could have just stopped at your mother's sister. Or your mother's brother. And you stuck with them. And you got to be patient with them. Amen. But how many here can give testimony that the wheel of grace we have to laugh at it because we got to wait for the grace of God. God, I ain't saying that it's funny, but I'm saying that I'm being patient with you. Because just like you working on me, in dimensions. You're working also on them. So when you see them do something totally stupid, don't fall all the way out. Be patient, because you too are work in progress. Take 5 seconds and give God a hand of praise. John describes us symbolically of lampstands and various things. I'm going to make this short today, and I want to leave one term with you, a word with you, that has become so aggressive in my life. And I mean, every time I turn around, I'm saying it and I'm using it because it is a fact of my life. And that is, I'm not going to God for him to do away with all of the hiccups, all of the distractions, and all of the negative things that are going to happen, because they're going to come. That's why when John starts to talk about us in the book of Revelations, he applauds us for a job well done in part. But then he turns and he chastises us for the things that we have left undone. And then he encourages us to stay there while God divinely brings us to perfection. So I'm no longer going to go to God and complain about whatever it is that come at me. Help me, Holy Spirit. No matter how hard it get when I'm being so laborious, hands-on, trying to work it out, and every time I feel like I have achieved something, something pops up out of nowhere, and it feels like I'm just not getting anywhere, I won't complain. Even when it's in my body and the aches and the pains that come with life starts to buff me, agitate me, God, I'm going to start being thankful that it is as well as it is. Because God, and here's my word, the pain is an indicator that lets me know that this too is going to pass. When I look at my instrument panel in my vehicle, I have a host of indicators that some tell me when stuff is right, and then there are others that will warn me that something is not right. And those indicators help to keep me going. The indicator don't fix what's wrong. It simply lets me know that something ain't right. And when I look at the book of Revelations, John, that's all I see is an instrument panel of indicators to let me know that sometime you're going to feel like you're riding high. But then there are going to be some days when you're going to be scrubbing the bottom. But you better believe that if you scrub the bottom, that means that you're on your way. That's an indicator. That you're on your way back up. Because if there were no pain, somebody say indicator. It is an indication of pain that God is a healer. Because there's some stuff that I have hurt with on the inside and the outside. Oh, look at me. I ain't hurting from that no more. Did I say I'm not hurting? I said I'm not hurting from that. You better think about that for a minute just before you shout and say glory. I'm talking about when it looked like it was going to last forever. Forever? Forever, ever? Forever, ever. But oh, it was just an indicator. Where are my folks that threw the towel in? But you threw it in too soon. And somehow when you gave up, God didn't give in. And he brought you on so that you can see that you're serving a God like that. When you get into the book of Revelations, and I dare you to go because I've been all up in there. I jumped up in there just like in life. I jumped up in the upper room. I was all up in there when I heard him say that there was open before me a door. Now, let me show you why it's an indicator. Wait a minute now. Close the door, Tat. Look back for a second. Close the door. Now, y'all look at the door. Now, this is what John said. He said, and behold, there was before me, now start opening, not a door opening, not a door closed halfway, not a door halfway open, but he said that was a door. I'm talking about as far as it'll go. That means you got to move out the way. It was opened in front of me, which means that there is something other than where I am. If it wasn't so, you would have never shown me what was on the other side, which is now a door that's an indicator. Oh, God. So when I started watching everything, my grandbabies especially, I started watching them. And then I look at our system and our society. I look at the price of food and how they're going up on this and going up on that. And then I can imagine that Luella worried because she said, Lord, is my kids going to be all right? And you be wondering, is Tat and George and Doobie and Cassie, is they going to all be all right? Is everybody going to be good, Ty? And all them, you worry about it going to be. But there's a door that's open. To let you know that no matter what this system does, I got an indicator. You hear what I'm saying? My indicator is an open door. So that means that when God get through with me, with all of this right here, that I'm going to go through to another dimension. Did y'all hear that? When I looked at that wedding last week, I'm trying to figure out through the whole thing what I'm looking at and adoring my baby. Now, this ought to be sad because I lost my daughter. That's her mother. Some years ago, but here it is. The last time that I was with her, I celebrated her, Cassie and I, with her going across at Alabama State, graduating, turning her tassel. I saw Abraham standing beside her 5 years ago. They were only in a courtship. Do you hear what I'm saying? They were only something like 24, 25 years old, just getting out of college. Somebody say that's a struggle. But then 5 years later, I'm sitting in Crossroads, Texas, on some huge, whatever it is, where they go golf, the Masters. And I'm like, don't nobody deal with this kind of stuff but royalty and that kind of people. Never seen anything like it on that level before in my life. Now, it didn't come out of my pocket. They never asked me for anything. But it's just an indicator that just like I took care of you on that level, I already got them on the other level. Stop worrying about what you're going to leave your kids and make sure that they know. Oh, my God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to make sure that they know what you know about who you know and what they know about you. And then that's what they need to know. Stop worrying about who in the White House. You just make sure you got God in your house. It's for me in my house. Somebody say indicator. When you get a good indicator that you got this week, I want you to stand on your feet. Don't stand up till you know what that indicator was. And it's going to be a little something that God did. It ain't going to be big. It's going to be a little old bitty something that he did that now that I brought it up, you are right, preacher. It was an indicator, yeah, God, that it's getting better already. I'm talking about, I say, when you get it, I want you to stand. I'm trying to hold up to my word. I said I wasn't going to be long. But when you know that it was an indicator and you're on your feet, then raise your hands because, oh, God, you did it. Come on, somebody. Did you get an indicator? Did you get an indicator? Did you get an indicator? I'm talking about I got something, Eddie, that's going to keep reminding me that whatever the trouble is, it's going to get. It's going to get. Somebody say, he's preparing me. Come on, he's preparing me. I'm a work in progress. He working on me. I don't know what you got going. I see some things. That arm look like it's bothering you. Yeah, but take that other arm. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And you give more thanks for the one that ain't giving you problem and watch what happens to the one that's giving you problems. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, he'll do it like that. He'll do it like that. Here's what was killing me. Here was the indicator. Y'all got to get the indicator. I was working. I said, Lord, my kids was right. I need to sit myself down somewhere. That ain't quite what they said, but I know how they talk. They told me I need to sit my old self down somewhere. You working like you ain't got nothing. You making embarrassing us like you ain't got nothing. And boy, I was working and my hip said, you better listen to what your kids said. That's what my hip said. My hip said, amen. The kids say, sit down. My hip said, amen. And so that day, I kept on going around and I was just working and I worked on because I need to. And I needed to go on and I needed to go on and I needed to go on. Well, it got hot out there this week. And it got so hot that I didn't have time to worry about the hip. I was worried about that heat. And that hip was nothing compared to being out there putting in 24 cameras in a self-storage building where it ain't nothing but tin. And boy, that sun, you know, the sun, when it hits you, is one thing. When it hits some tin and it come back at you, it's like a magnifying glass. Y'all ever did that to kids? Put your hand right here and you put that magnifying glass on them. That's what that sun was doing to me. I was trying to cover my face so I wouldn't be blacker than blackity black. And then it was just everything. Well, by the time that I got to thinking so much about God, how good you being to me to let me get through this, guess what? My hip wasn't hurting no more. And I said, well, wait a minute. Do I get out here and complain about the sun? And I'm not lying to you. When I say, hey, sometimes you're going to see me and I'm going to be limping. And then sometimes you see me and you're going to say, I thought you must be playing. You're trying to get some disability. No, no, that ain't it, baby. There's just times that it's like it needs to be replaced. And then there's some times that it say, I can go on. I can make it anyhow. Come on, somebody. So somebody say an indicator. Now I'm going to ask y'all one more time. Even if you're young or old, but if you got an indicator. I don't care if what you ask mama for, you ask her for a whole bunch and she gave you a little bit, that's an indicator. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? When you don't get the whole thing, Zakiah, if she just give you a little bit. If you say, mom, can I do so and so and so and so? Stop bothering me about that. Stop bothering me about that. I'll let you know later. I'll let you know later. That's an indicator. Come on, somebody. You got to know just because you get something and it looks like it's negatively being placed upon you, it doesn't mean that that is the final say-so. Somebody say there's another dimension. I just helped you, and I pray God to go farther into the book of Revelations, because when he says this, the first thing he does in chapter number 1, read it this week. You got all of the vacation week. The first thing that he does is he establishes what has been in part. The incarnate Jesus Christ, that means that he was born of a woman, right? Say amen, that's what incarnate. He was an immaculate conception. He had no earthly father. The Holy Spirit spoke into Mary. Mary conceived. Amen. And the beginning, in the beginning, the Word was made flesh. He is the Word of God, spoken into Mary. He became flesh, and he walked, right? And we knew him as Jesus, the carpenter's son, right? And what all did he do? Galilee, gave sight to the blind, did a little this, did a little that, turned water into wine, fed 5,000, couple of fish, all right? You got to remember that, but you got to forget that. Because that dimension is over. Stop waiting for Jesus to come turn your water into some Moscato. That ain't happening. That's done. All that he did in the flesh is never to be done anymore. I'm a Baptist preacher, y'all. I had to read Romans chapter 10 when I went to anybody's revival. If not, I was breaking the cardinal law. And this week it came back to me. And I was reading to them without a knowledge of saying in Romans 10, what is it? We going to bring him up out of the grave and let him live in the body all over again? And basically, what we were reading in the revival was counterproductive to what we're saying we're doing. Is because what we're trying to do is we want Jesus to come on up in here and touch one of us and make us whole. And he ain't doing that no more. He's not touching any of us. John makes that clear in the first chapter, Janet. He lets you know that God the Father and Jesus the Son are. And Jesus is no longer Jesus. Jesus is God. He spends the entire first chapter showing you through symbolism, I am the first and I am the last. He's not talking about God as we knew God. He's talking about Jesus Christ being Alpha and Omega. He has completed his pilgrimage. That mission is finished. It's just not over. There is no more flesh. You can have these ceremonies and you can remember him. And sometime, y'all grow up with me real quick. I have a problem with that. It's because we get too much into the ceremonialism, like there's something sacred here with this little bread and this little juice. There's nothing sacred. Somebody was mad because they had to cook that bread. If you came up when I was. Because they would argue with each other about who cooked the bread last time. Now tomorrow we gonna eat that bread. Guess what we just ate? I ain't saying they did anything bad to it. But the spirit in which it was prepared, we did consume that. And then what would happen when it's over? I took the linen home last. No, you did. No, you didn't. I did. These are the mothers. Huh? And then they watching all around, make sure the little kids don't get no extra. It ain't nothing but some juice and some crackers. Mom made me some at home anyway. Didn't she, Janet? She made me some bread because I love the bread, so she make me a little, leave me a piece in it. So y'all can have all that anyway because y'all can put y'all fingers in it anyway because y'all be doing it. I got me some fresh bread at home.
that piece, you drop it and put it back down, then they're begabbing. There is too much in the ceremonialism for me to embrace it, and it disconnects me from being what God wants me to be. I need to know that you are atoning with God, that you are supping with Him inside yourself. That's what's most important to me, is that you are having a daily bread. Because as often as you, but when you make it on a certain Sunday, often it's taken away. Because now you put it on a schedule. Counterproductive. I'm sorry. It's counterproductive. Same thing with saying I do. Same thing with anything that we do that is ceremonially done. You get what I'm saying? To where you're just going through emotion. That's why the first thing that the revelation wants to do is do away with you thinking that Jesus running around here in some sandals with some bare feet and some robe wrapped around him. And for God's sake, forget about whether his hair was curly or straight. Stop trying to prove him black because he wasn't that. And stop trying to prove him white because he wasn't that either. He is God. Huh? He is God. Let me tell you why this is going to help you. We grieve too long because we are too attached to a specific dimension and a specific time. The angels told the disciples, because Jesus had ascended, the same way that he left, he's coming back again. Now, they didn't mean that he was coming back hands, fingers, toes, and feet. They said that the way that he is operating in a whole different spiritual realm, you're going to discover that he ain't going nowhere. Or should we say that he definitely is not far. All right? When you go into that book of Revelations, you look at it again, and what is the first chapter showing you? That Jesus is God. He is God. The reconnection, the final chapter of us looking at him in the flesh. So much so now, you can't blaspheme his name because you say J-E-S-U-S, because depending on what country you're from, it's a whole lot of Jesuses in Mexico. Help me. If that's the case, Jesus is as common in Mexico as, what's a common name in America? John? Yeah. Jesus. So just because you run around and you say Jesus, you ain't done nothing. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. God ain't God's name. To one, in the Hebrew tongue, he was El Shaddai. To another, he was Jehovah Jireh. Now, those are names. Tell your neighbor God ain't a name. So when you say God, D-A-M-N, you ain't blaspheming his name. You're probably going to get a whooping. You ain't playing too short. In our limited values, John brings us to a whole new dimension. He wants us to see God on a whole new level so that we can see ourselves. There's a scripture that says this. Remember it. Now we see in part. But then, and we see through a fog glass. And through a fog glass, we see in part. Somebody help me find that in the scripture. I know it, I think it's in the book of Philippians, maybe Colossians. Fog glass. Though now we see it, we see in part. We see in part. We see in part. I think that's in Colossians. We see in part. It's a good verse for y'all to take home while you're reading Revelations with it. For now, we see in part. All right, what did it say? Read it loud. All right. You bring yourself to, you don't see yourself as who you have come to know yourself to be. You come to see yourself as who God sees you as. God thinks a lot of me. Anybody else in here can say that? He think a lot of me. And I don't have to run around doing no self-preservation either. He takes care of me. From the bullies. Everybody else. Don't worry about people plotting on you. I promise you, he'll make your enemies your footstool. You'll be sitting eating, and folks that ain't ever talked to you before come by and say, I need to come down and see you. I'll be like, what for? In that moment, obviously, you must have stuck out, and it was important for them to say something, even though what they said, it didn't make sense. Y'all catch that? Yeah. People ever shock y'all like that? They don't even speak to you, have nothing to do with you, but you get in the right environment, then they walk up to you like everything good, and you be left bewildered. I'm finished because y'all don't live in the real world.
God bless y'all.
Okay. Who cooking? Who's cooking? I ain't coming over y'all house. If I do, I'm going to bring the whole crew. I got a whole bunch of them. You ain't cooking, April? Look at Aunt Gloria looking at you. Man, if it be this hot, I don't, Bob Gibson might be sounding good. It's hot out there. Don't think you're going to cook at night. It's still 90 degrees. Amen. But y'all hope you're planning to have lots of fun and enjoying and enjoyment. Cash, I just got one question, bro. Today. Stand up, bro. I don't know what it is, bro, but I'm trying to tell you what. Bro, you look like Rev Hurt. He looked like the bishop today. I'm through. Looking dapper, bro. I like that. But he fell in love with suits, right?
Whoa. Hope that ain't no indicator.
He liked them suits. All right, you all. Y'all enjoy, and most of all, be safe. And I need to go ahead and say this. I'm going to wait till I get off the air. All right. Get your tithe and your offering together. And let Malachi out. Usher. Come on, Usher, Malachi. Don't act like it. Start back there in the back. You is officially an usher. Better be glad we ain't still got no fans. Yeah. Man, we get them fans. The goodness, boy, we tear them fans up, man. That's Lord. Thank you for bringing us. We don't tear fans up no more. We was kids. Cass and them at Pilgrim and Tat and Booty Wooty them.
they would be sitting on the back row, and Miss Easter was the usher. And she'd come around collecting all their chewing gum. Now, which one of y'all wouldn't give up y'all chewing gum? The first lady, Cassie. She was not giving Miss Easter her chewing gum. Because anything you do to her, her mama, if her mama or her daddy didn't say it, then you can forget it. Now, that's Cassie's way. Booty Woody, he's sitting over there asleep. Soon as he get to church, he came to church to go to sleep. And Miss Easter, is she still living?
No.
God rest her soul. Miss Easter, and you know, Ma and him, she would tell him, don't, you got to respect your elders. But they found it hard sometimes because Miss Easter was one of them rough. Do y'all remember y'all churchhood usher? Yes, you do remember them. So take that fan and then put that gum on there. Y'all didn't put no gum under the seat, did you? Y'all must have went to the Catholic Church. You know, in some way, in some part, probably. But boy, the things we used to do in church, that's just coming to my mind. I just can't. Then mama give me that look. I just wanted some. Who in here, they mama's purse smell like double mint gum, juicy fruit? I bet your mama didn't have no crackers in her purse. Her smell like bubble gum. Glory to angels, bubble gum. So if you smell anything in her purse, it's double bubble. She don't chew spearmint and double mint. She chew bubble gum. Amen. But those were the wonderful days. Beautiful days. Amen. And I love them. But I just couldn't. I wasn't there, but I've heard the stories enough to sometimes I can just see them vividly. My wife and her siblings and everybody at Pilgrim. Pilgrim was just like Moulton Heights. It looked like it. It just looked the same. Same red chairs. Padded. They was wood. Then they put some cushion in them. Amen. So, but anyway, we come up on that, and now here we are now, and God wants to bring us into a whole new. Jock, where did you go to church as young, as a kid? Same thing. Hard's First Baptist. You wasn't no different. All of them. You went to one of them, you went to all of them. Amen. Who was the pastor that in? Can't remember. That's been a long time. I can't remember all the pastors. But anyway, you all, God bless you. Where did you go to church as a kid? Uh-huh. Same difference. It didn't make no difference. All of them, Baptist church was a Baptist church. Amen. Don't go to no primitive Baptist church. Last thing I'm going to talk about it. We went to a primitive Baptist church, and we got there on a Sunday where they wash feet. Well, my daughter didn't know all of that. And she was, Lena was ready to go. She did not understand, what are they up there doing? Can they do this in church? Because they was taking their shoes off and washing feet at the altar. And she just really, because she was brought up under, we weren't primitive Baptists, but you know, they had washing feet every, some Sunday. And same day they had communion service. And I think I'm saying all of this is because none of that is to be done away with, but we are going to go on now so that we can see ourselves as we are. Stand to your feet, we're ready to go. Stop the stream on the computer, Cassie. Stop the stream on the computer. Yeah, huh? Snakes. They had snakes. No, I'm not gonna tempt him. But I went to a church I did a revival over in Pulaski. And we preached, it was a Sunday evening service, and it got dark, and they said, we going to the creek. Told them I did my part. Because if they thought I was finna get in that water, and it's dark too. Cassie can tell you I sit in the car with the air conditioner on. And they think it's funny. Hope it ain't no snakes down there tonight. No, I didn't do that. I forget his name. But boy, they gonna baptize at night. Look, bro, you say that's all you need. Baptism is we